Thank you, David. And yes, I am a little bit older than you, though I look like I might be a decade older than you. Good evening. I welcome all of you here in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. I thank all of you for either coming out or tuning in, getting online. We just came from my brother-in-law Floyd Denham's house, and we had service there, and in that service I read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So you got that sermon right there from David already, so we won't do that one. No, but we are going to read some of it. And when we got done with the service and it was time to say prayer, my Aunt Margie Katamura, she said, "You're going up to preach again?" I said, "Yes." She goes, "Well, you better say prayer for all those people that have to listen to you." So we did. We said prayer at my brother-in-law Floyd's house for all of you people who have to listen to me tonight. Going to talk about quite a few things. I've got a whole list of notes here. David said he'll let me know when it gets close to 9 o'clock. So you guys don't have to worry about going past that time. If you would open your Bibles, we're going to read one verse out of Matthew, the 5th chapter. It's the very first verse in Beatitudes. It says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And we're going to discuss that this evening. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know, that's what I want. That's my goal in life, is I want to make it into the kingdom of heaven. So I have to be poor in spirit. But that poor in spirit doesn't necessarily mean downtrodden and, oh, woe is me, or anything like that. No, that's not what it means. It means something entirely different. But we'll get to that when we get to the end of the sermon around 9 o'clock. If you'll open the Book of Mormon to 2 Nephi chapter 1, it's on page 80. Starting at verse 33. This is Lehi talking, and he's talking to his sons, and he's talking to Zoram, and he's talking to all the people that came with them over here to the Promised Land. And he's telling them, you know, this is what you need to do. And he's been telling them, you know, Nephi your brother Nephi has done a lot of things for God. He's done a lot of things for all of us, getting us here and keeping us fed and you know, following God's commandment. And he's also been doing his best to try and keep you guys aligned with what God wants. And so he tells the rest of his sons and everybody else there in verse 33, he says, "Oh, my sons, that these things might not come upon you, but that you might be a choice and a favored people of the Lord. But behold, his will be done." So Lehi wants the same thing for his kids that I want for myself. I want to be a choice person, favorite of God, and I want to make it into heaven. And this is what he wants for his sons. But then he says, "But behold, his will be done. For his ways are righteousness forever. And he has said that, inasmuch as ye shall keep my commandments, ye shall prosper in the land. But inasmuch as ye will not keep my commandments, ye shall be cut off from my presence. And now that my soul might have joy in you, and that my heart might leave this world with gladness because of you, that I might not be brought down with grief and sorrow to the grave." He tells them this. He says, "Arise from the dust, my sons, and be men, and be determined in one mind and in one heart, united in all things, that ye may not come down into captivity, that ye may not be cursed with a sore cursing, and that ye may not incur the displeasure of a just God upon you unto the destruction, yea, the eternal destruction of both soul and body. My sons, Sean, wake up, arise from the dust, and be men. Be united in spirit and in mind and in body, and strive to serve the Lord your God with all your might, mind, and strength, so that you may not be destroyed for eternity, both your soul and body. He wants the same thing for his sons that I want for myself, and that I truly want for each and every one of you. And he tells them in verse 38, awake, my sons, put on the armor of righteousness. Well, this past 3 or 4 days in Warrensburg, we had vacation church school. And at vacation church school this year, the theme was put on the whole armor of God. And that's what we taught the kids. Interestingly enough, about 2 months ago, on a Tuesday morning, it was about 3 o'clock Tuesday morning, I'm laying there in bed asleep, and all of a sudden Angelita's shaking me. What'd you say? And she's shaking me. What'd you say? She says, you're gonna what? You're gonna put on what? And she's waking me up in the middle of the night. It's dark. And I'm like, what is she doing? You know, I can feel her shaking me, and I can feel her talking to me, and I'm sleeping. But then I hear this other person talking, and I realize it's my own voice. And in my own voice, I'm saying, I need to make my breastplate, and I need to make my shield. And she's waking me up, and she's saying, you're going to make what? And I realized that I was dreaming, and that I was talking in my sleep while I was dreaming. And in the dream, I was dreaming about putting on the whole armor of God. And I needed to make my shield, and I needed to make my breastplate, and I needed to get all my stuff together. And so I'm laying there, and I told her, I'm sorry for talking in my sleep. I'm sorry I woke you up. I said, I'll be good. I'll be quiet. I said, you can go back to sleep. So she does, and then I'm laying there awake, and I'm thinking about, you know, putting on the whole armor of God. And I'm thinking about all the sermons that I've heard, and I want to put on the whole armor of God. And so I'm asking God, I said, you know, would you please tell me exactly how to do this? Could you please tell me, Lord, exactly how to put on the whole armor of God? I know I need to do this, but I want to know, how do I put it on? And so I'm laying there and I'm talking to God, and then in my head I hear him speak, and he says, pray. And I'm like, pray? Pray. And then it clicked and it made sense. And I'm like, well, of course. You know, you have to pray. That's what it's all about. And that's even what, and I remembered, and that was even what our brother AJ, what his dream was about. You know, he had a dream that he was being chased by demons, and the only way he was able to defeat them was by putting on the armor of God. But he had to get in a closet and pray before he could put the armor on. So God was telling me that night, he says, you got to pray. And then it all started to fall into place. Whose armor am I putting on? So let's go there. We'll go to Ephesians chapter 6. Start at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You know, this morning, our brother Mark, he talked about being in a fight. He talked about that we're up against an enemy, whether we want to or not, we're in a fight. And we're either going to be fighting on the side of God, or we're going to be fighting on the side of Satan. And you really don't have any choice. It's going to be one or the other, whether you believe it or not. And Mark's right. You don't have a choice. You're in a fight. And you're going to be fighting on one side or the other, whether you want to or not. There's no way around it. So before you get in that fight, I suggest that you put on the whole armor of God. You're going to need it in order to win the fight, in order to survive the fight and come out victorious. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So you're going to put this armor on. Well, whose armor is it? Susan, whose armor is it? Yeah, God's. That's right. You think you're just going to go and take it and put it on? No. It's his armor. You got to ask him to put it on you. He is the armor bearer. You know, you're going out into the battle as a knight in the service of your Lord. You better make sure that you ask your armor bearer to put the armor on you before you go out into battle. Because if you don't, it ain't going to happen, and the fight's going to be over pretty quick. So he says, verse 13, he says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and I'm just going to read through the whole thing. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I can't tell you how many times I've read that this past 4 days, or have heard it read, and I've heard little kids recite that whole thing by memory. And I was impressed with their ability to do it, because I'm not sure I could do it still. It's a lot of words to remember. But I have been praying that God puts his whole armor on me on a daily basis for quite some time now. And it does help in the fight. It truly does. Back in verse 14, it says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Whose truth? Well, the truth of God. The truth of the Word, Jesus Christ. It's supposed to be girt about your loins. Right down here in your gut. You better know the truth way down deep. You better have that truth and that knowledge way down deep in you, so that you'll know what's true and what's false. And there's no way you can have that if you haven't asked for it. You have to ask. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, that's in 14 also. Righteousness right here on your heart. If you don't have that in your heart, you're not going to win the fight. If you haven't received that right here, you're not going to win. How do you get that righteousness? How do we become righteous? There's only one way. You have to repent of your sins. You have to go down into the waters of baptism and be baptized. You have to receive the laying on of hands for the reception of the Holy Ghost, that baptism of fire and reception of the Holy Ghost. And allow Jesus' love to enter into your heart. If you don't do that, you're not going to have righteousness as your breastplate to protect you. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know, you can read the scriptures and you can memorize them and you can quote them frontwards and backwards. But if you don't ask God to give you an understanding of what's written, it isn't going to do you any good. You're not going to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace upon your feet. And you're going to be easily led astray if you haven't asked Him to explain it to you and give you wisdom and understanding of what He's written. You're going to be easily led astray if you don't have this on your feet. And anyone that's following you will be led astray also. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And they had a little skit, a little program there at the school. And our sister Stephanie Welch was dressed in all the armor, had her shield of faith. And they were throwing these fiery little arrows at her. They were foam rubber. They were red and they were flinging them at her and everything. And she's got her shield up and knocking them away. And she might miss one, but it would just bounce off her armor. And she did a good job. And each one had a thing written on it, you know, lies, angers, jealousy, you know. All the sins, there's a multitude of them. They were throwing them at her, and she was protected with her shield of faith and the armor. So you've got to have that. And if you've been baptized, your faith increases in such a large amount that it will protect all of you. You know, you can have faith before you're baptized. You got to have some before you do get baptized. You got to have enough faith to get baptized. But once you do get baptized, your faith will grow into a shield big enough it can protect you from those fiery darts. And take the helmet of salvation, that's verse 17. Put it on your head. You know, He put it there for a reason. Each one of these pieces of the armor are placed where they're placed for a reason. The helmet of salvation goes on your head so that you're always focused on the goal. Your goal in life is your soul's salvation, along with helping others to achieve their soul salvation through your testimonies, your actions, and your prayers, and your encouragement. Lift them up. Edify the church. But you've got to remember that, and it's got to be placed right here on your head so that you're intent upon the goal in a daily basis. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You know, in the class, for our class of 7 and 9 year old kids, we made the whole armor of God, each piece. And we talked to them about it before they make it. We go over the lesson. And each piece has a specific purpose. And the sword, you know, the sword, that's what they wanted. They all wanted the sword. You know, that was going to be so cool when we get to make the sword, you know. And the first day was, when are we going to make the sword? And the second day was, we get to make the sword today. And the third day is, oh, we're going to make the sword today. And yeah, all right, you know, my sword's going to be so cool. Well, I asked them if they knew what they were supposed to do with it. And they said, fight. It's like, yes. You're going to fight to free yourself from sin and free other people from sin, because that sword, that spirit, it's the Word of God. And without the Word of God, without knowing how to use it, you can't free yourself from sin. If you don't know how to use it, if you don't know what it says at all, you won't be freed from sin, ever. And you'll never be able to free anyone else from sin. And if you haven't practiced using that sword, and you go to free somebody from their sin, you know, they're all bound up and chained up and tied up. Maybe they've been wounded in battle and they've got, you know, sores and stuff that need to be surgically removed. Well, if you don't know how to use that sword properly and you just start whacking away at them, and we went over this in the class, you know, we had a sword. I said, you want me to just whack away at them? And they're like, no. I said, well, what do you want me to do with poor Mac Wiley here? And they said, well, you gotta set him free. I said, so I need to be careful how I use this sword? Yeah, you do. I said, okay, so then I need to practice with this. I need to know how to use it. Yeah, yeah. I said, now is it a, I said, what, how is this sword shaped? And we, you know, we had a sword there and I pointed to the two sides. I said, what's this right here? And they said, those are the sides. I said, is there one side? No, there's two. I said, so when I'm going like this, and the person that I'm fighting against takes a swing up at me as I'm swinging down, what happens if their sword hits my sword and my sword bounces back and smacks me in the head? They said, well, you're gonna cut your head open. I said, yeah, it's a sharp two-edged sword, so you're gonna have to learn how to use it. You're gonna have to be strong in it in order to defeat the enemy. Or you're going to cut yourself to shreds too. As you're swinging away, you can't just go wild with it. You know, it's two edges. You might go like this, and I just cut my shoulder. If you don't study and you don't learn how to use it, and you go trying to free someone from their sins, you might end up just cutting them up and destroying them. And they'll be lost forever. You know, the breastplate of righteousness. I've looked at all of these, but the breastplate of righteousness, you cannot become righteous if you don't take the steps. And I want you to go to the book of Matthew, and you all know this. This is in chapter 3 of Matthew, starting at verse 13. This is Jesus Christ's baptism. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, And comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. That breastplate of righteousness that's going to be on your heart, even Jesus Christ had to do that in order to fulfill all righteousness. He said so himself. It's right there in the red letters. John, we got to do this. I know you want to be baptized by me, but you got to do this for me. You have to baptize me in order to fulfill all righteousness. You know, this is a commandment right here. Everybody has to do this in order to defeat Satan and get the armor put on them. You have to do it. There's no way around it. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians. We'll do that one. Fifth chapter. Starting at verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Yeah. You don't know when that day's coming for you. And none of us know when that day's coming for the entire world. None of us. It could be during the day, it could be during the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. No, we're not. We're not in the dark. We're in the light. We are children of the light. We have the armor of light upon us. You're all the children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Yeah, always watchful, always vigilant. We're in a service. We're in an army. Always on watch. Always on guard, ready at a moment's notice to take up our shield and our sword and rush into battle to fight and defeat the enemy. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. For an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't just go run off into the fight all mad and angry and saying, I'm going to kill somebody. No. We're going to free people from sin. That's what we're fighting for. And to keep ourselves freed from sin, we have to maintain and be vigilant and be sober, always ready. You know, it says, the breastplate of faith and love, righteousness. You have faith in God. You love him with all your might, mind, and strength. He says, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. My commandments, all of them. Love thy neighbor as I have loved you. That was one of Christ's commandments. The things that you have seen me done, do ye also. That's another one of his commandments. He says that we need to repent of our sins that we need to have faith in him and that we need to be baptized. He tells us in the book of John, he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And if you love me, I love you and you're my friends. He tells us that. It's a good place to be. Turn to the, back to the Matthew chapter 3. Come on. Nope, sorry. We just read that one. 2 Nephi, chapter 13, page 161. Going to start at the 13th verse. No, start at the 7th verse. And now, if the Lamb of God, he being holy, should have need to be baptized by water to fulfill all righteousness, oh then, how much more need have we, being unholy, to be baptized, yea, even by water? And now I would ask of you, my beloved brethren, wherein the Lamb of God did fulfill all righteousness in being baptized by water. Know ye not that he was holy? But notwithstanding he being holy, he sheweth unto the children of men that according to the flesh he humbleth himself before the Father and witnesseth unto the Father that he would be obedient unto him in keeping his commandments. Wherefore, after that he was baptized with water, the Holy Ghost descended upon him in the form of a dove. This is what he did. This is what he said we have to do. And again, it sheweth unto the children of men the straitness of the path and the narrowness of the gate by which they should enter, he having set the example before them. That's the gate that you enter into the path, the pathway of Christ. You know, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, that path that we're supposed to follow. There's only one gate. You don't walk into the gate and get on the path and walk down a little ways and there's the gate again. Oh, walk through the gate again. And you walk a little ways and, oh, there's the gate again. No, there's one gate. One baptism. One faith. One Lord. That's the way it works. And he saith unto the children of men, follow thou me. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, can we follow Jesus? Say we shall be willing to keep the commandments of the Father. And the Father saith, repent ye, and be baptized in the name of my beloved Son. And also the voice of the Son came unto me, saying, he that is baptized in my name, to him will the Father give the Holy Ghost, like unto me. Wherefore follow me, and do the things which ye have seen me do. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, I know that if ye shall follow the Son with full purpose of heart, acting no hypocrisy and no deception before God, but with real intent, repenting of your sins, witnessing unto the Father that ye are willing to take upon you the name of Christ by baptism, yea, by following your Lord and Savior, down into the water, according to his word, behold, then shall ye receive the Holy Ghost. Yea, then cometh the baptism of fire and of the Holy Ghost, and then can ye speak with the tongue of angels and shout praises unto the Holy One of Israel. That's going through the gate, right there. That's getting on the path. But behold, my beloved brethren, thus came the voice of the Son unto me, saying, after that ye have repented of your sins and witnessed unto the Father that ye are willing to keep my commandments by the baptism of water and have received the baptism of fire and of the Holy Ghost and can speak with a new tongue, yea, even with the tongue of angels. And after this, once you've gone through that gate, once you've done that, after this, should deny me. It would have been better for you that ye had not known me. Once you've done that, don't turn back. Don't ever say, I didn't do it. That never happened. That wasn't me. Don't say that. You deny that, you're in trouble. It would have been better for you that ye had not known me. And I heard a voice from the Father saying, yea, the words of my beloved are true and faithful. He that endureth to the end. Do all the things that Christ said to do for the rest of your life. Have faith in him. Pray to him. Keep his commandments. You got a job to do. You got work to do. You think Jesus Christ just got baptized and said, okay, I'm done. I made it. No. He had just barely started to do his work. He did all kinds of work. And he was constantly, continually praying and preaching through his actions, preaching through his prayers that he said out loud, preaching in the synagogues, preaching in the streets, preaching in homes, preaching by the seashore. You know, he was doing works everywhere. Did he have faith? Yeah. Did he heal people? Yeah. Did he perform miracles? Yeah. He did it continually until he died. That's works. Endure to the end. That's what it's talking about. That's what it says in John. When it says abide in the vine, that word abide means the same thing that the word endure means. You can look it up. You're going to abide in the vine. You're going to endure. You're going to do the work. You're going to pray. You're going to act like a Christian. You're going to be ever ready, ever vigilant, sober in your duty, always prepared for the fight. Endure, abide. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. The same shall be saved. And now, my beloved brethren, I know by this that unless a man shall endure to the end in following the example of the Son of the living God, he cannot be saved. Says the same thing in John. Wherefore do the things which I have told you that I have seen that your Lord and your Redeemer should do. For this cause have they been shown unto me, that ye might know the gate by which ye should enter. For the gate by which ye should enter is repentance and baptism by water, and then cometh a remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. And then are ye in the straight and narrow path which leads to eternal life. Yea, ye have entered in by the gate. Ye have done according to the commandments of the Father and the Son. And ye have received the Holy Ghost, which witnesses of the Father and the Son unto the fulfilling of the promise which he hath made, that if you enter in by the way, ye should receive. And now, my beloved brethren, after that ye have gotten into the straight and narrow path, I would ask if all is done. No. Behold, I say unto you, nay, for ye have not come thus far, save it were by the word of Christ, with unshaken faith in him, relying wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save. Wherefore ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. And now, my beloved brethren, this is the way, and there is none other way, nor name given under heaven, whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God. And now, behold, this is the doctrine of Christ, and the only and true doctrine of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, which is one God without end. Amen. Turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, starting at verse 8. For if Jesus had given them rest, he's talking about his disciples, his followers, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. In other words, once you've gotten into that path, is it done? Are you over? Can you rest? No. There's no rest until you reach the end. It says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. There is a rest that's coming, eternal rest in heaven. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works. Yeah, once you're dead, you can rest. Until then, you still have to work. That's the way it is. You know, it says God rested from his works when he got done with the job. Made everything. He finished the job. Until you finish the job, you don't get to rest. That's the way it works. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. Well, let's work our way forward until we make it into that rest. That's what that just said. Lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It can free you from sin. Yeah. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. I have a profession, an earthly profession, and a spiritual profession. My earthly profession is to install tile. My spiritual profession is to be a child of Christ. Both of them require that I work. You can't have a profession and not work. You can say, I'm a professor, but if you don't teach, you're not really a professor. You just have a degree. You might have been a professor, You say, I have a profession, you better work. Otherwise, you're unemployed. You're doing nothing. Let's go back to the second book of Nephi. Chapter 1. It's on page 82, starting at verse 65. It says, "For the Spirit is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the way is prepared from the fall of man, and salvation is free. And men are instructed sufficiently that they know good from evil. And the law is given unto men, and by the law no flesh is justified, or by the law men are cut off. Yea, by the temporal law they were cut off, and also by the spiritual law they perish from that which is good." And that's true. The law is the law, and there's no getting around it. You can try and twist it any way you want to. The temporal and the spiritual, both. You can twist them around to suit your own desires, but you're not going to ever be able to change them. You can say, oh, yeah, that doesn't count anymore. Oh, no, we don't need to do this, or we don't need to do that. You can pray however you want. You can pray to whoever you want in whatever manner you want. Mark even talked about that this morning, you know. Pray to all these different beings or people that came before us, and you can say you're going to do this and that. It's not going to work. You're not going to make it. The law will stop you. And you might become miserable forever. That's what it says. And become miserable forever. Wherefore, redemption, the only way you're going to make it, redemption cometh in and through the Holy Messiah, for he is full of grace and truth. Behold, he offereth himself a sacrifice for sin. He offereth himself a sacrifice for sin. I'm going to ask you, what do you offer up to him? To answer the ends of the law unto all those which have a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and unto none else can the ends of the law be answered. If you're not willing to do what he said, the way he said it, in that manner, that exact manner, and live your life accordingly until the end, you don't have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And the law is going to grab a hold of you, and you're going to be cast into outer darkness. There's no other way in. Do what he said, or suffer the consequences. You know, I said we were gonna talk about Matthew the third or the fifth chapter, and the third verse, first part of the Beatitudes, and we are. You know, it says, verse 72 here in 2 Nephi, page 83. Behold, he offereth himself a sacrifice for sin to answer the ends of the law unto all those which have a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and unto none else can the ends of the law be answered. Turn to Psalm 51. We're going to go right back to Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to read it here in Psalm 51. Verse 14, Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The poor in spirit are those who have a broken spirit and a contrite heart. That word poor and the word contrite and broken in the 51st Psalm mean the same thing when you look them up. It's the same definition. To be crouched under the burden of taking upon you the mantle and the name of Jesus Christ as his child, as his servant, by going down into the waters of baptism and putting upon you the whole armor of God and enduring in the battle until the end. You heard this morning we're in a fight. I know you heard that if you were here or listening online. And we are in a fight. And it doesn't matter if you want to believe it or not. You're in a fight. And the only way you're going to win that fight is to have a broken heart and a contrite spirit, to be poor in spirit, so that you can enter into the kingdom of heaven. There's no other way. No other law given. No other route, no other path, no other gate. You either do what he said or you won't make it. I'm going to do my best to set a good example for all of you. I hope and pray, and I'm going to do my best to encourage you to set a good example for me. We'll win this fight together. I love you all. Thank you.